I have no regrets. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. And the only thing that I would have done different is made my decision a little bit sooner. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. Oh, I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. And the only thing that I would have done different is make my decision a little bit sooner. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. Oh, I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. And the only thing that I would have done different is make my decision a little bit sooner. Since I met Jesus, I can say I have no regrets. And I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Since I met Jesus Christ, I can say I have no regrets. And the only thing that I would have done different is make my decision a little bit sooner. Since I met Jesus, now we can say I have no regrets. One more time. I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Since I met Jesus, I can say I have no regrets. And the only thing that I would have done different, made my decision a little bit sooner. Since I met Jesus, now we can say I have no regrets. Amen. Anybody feel like that tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We have some regrets about a lot of things. Amen. But since we met Jesus, I don't have any regrets about that. I just kind of wish I would have started a little bit earlier. Amen. That's about the only thing that could be different. It's the only way it could be better. Amen. It would be better if I'd never spent one day in sin. But I'm glad that I know Jesus tonight. I'm glad that He knows me. What did the Scripture say? It said, rejoice, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when the devil comes against you and he tells you all the bad stuff and he says, ain't nothing working right. Everything in your whole life's messed up. You said, you just tell him, if I have one thing to be thankful for, and one thing only, it's because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's it. Amen. That's all that I really need. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel with Jesus in the house, and I'm glad I came. Amen. I'm glad you came. Thank you for being here tonight. Let me encourage you again about the service Sunday. To be sure, there's some more announcements. Those are so very nice. Cherie worked hard and others that helped to put those together. It's a special invitation. They won't be any good. They expire on Sunday. So it would be a travesty to have any of them sitting here. Amen. Just wasted. So get them and invite somebody and give them a very special invitation to come and share with us on Sunday after the service and the Thanksgiving dinner. And let's just go ahead and have a great crowd Sunday. Amen. Brother Neil was saying how much better you looked after we prayed. The only way you could look better if you had somebody sitting beside you. Amen. That was coming to church for the first time, or maybe they've just been away for a while. But let's bring people to the house of the Lord and expect God to do something great. Of course, next Wednesday night will be a Thanksgiving service. Amen. Brother Jimmy Martin will be preaching for us again. And so Brother Martin will be here next Wednesday night. And I know that it'll be a blessed time. Don't forget the Christmas banquet. It'll be here before you know it. So make your plans. Get your tickets. And this is also something good to invite your friends to. It'll be a lot of folks are afraid of church. How many times you heard somebody, "Oh, if I walk in there, the ceiling will fall in on me." Well, it won't, I promise. Amen. It's very sturdy. Amen. But if they're afraid of that, just say, "Well, just how about coming in for just a banquet?" Amen. And they're gonna have a lot of fun, brother. Nate Lawrence is a tremendous, well, everything. Amen. He'll be funny. He'll be entertaining. He's the only person I've ever seen that can play. Now, I could play two saxophones, but you wouldn't like it. You wouldn't like it if I played one. But he can play two and make you like it. Amen. It's one of the most beautiful demonstrations of blessing that we've seen. So you'll enjoy that. So don't forget that. And one other thing tonight, before you leave, go upstairs and go in the hospitality room here in the old kitchen and see what Brother Neil has done. He did a tremendous, tremendous job in remodeling that. And it looks great. Don't leave now. Don't leave now. Just wait till after service. Amen. But I appreciate so very much his labor. God has blessed him with a great skill, and I appreciate what he's done. And I said something about wanting to remodel that and do a little different than so we could, it would be more useful to us. And he said, "When are we going to start?" Don't ever ask that question. Amen. I said, "How about Tuesday morning?" Amen. And he did, and tremendous job. So thank you, Brother Neil, very much. And I appreciate your work, your time, and your dedication to getting this project completed. All right. With that said, God bless you. Amen. Right, sure. Amen. So let's be sure and pray for this endeavor. Also, Sister Vicki, or Brother Brandon Looney, I guess I should say, his son Camden, has pneumonia. He's in the hospital. So let's pray for little Camden tonight. The Lord's been good. He's improving, doing much better. But keep him in your prayers. Be good if we just pray about this before we dismiss to our separate services here tonight. God, we ask you to direct and let Scott feel peace in his heart about the right thing to do. And we do especially pray for little Bailey, God, that she would heal her body. And God, that she would gain the weight that she needs to gain, and not only during this season, but from here on. And that you would just restore her to perfect health. I know that you can, and I believe that's the will of God. And I'm asking you to do it tonight. And we're going to give you the glory and all of the praise and all of the honor. And your name that's above all names, we ask it and thank you for it. We pray tonight for Camden, that you will heal this little boy, make him completely well. And we'll thank you for your healing touch in his body. Thank you for all that you've done in this service here tonight. I believe that you've done some wonderful work here, that you have healed some people. I believe, God, that you've encouraged some people. I believe, Lord, that your Spirit has made a difference in our lives in this service tonight, and we thank you for it. We want to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. All right, God bless you. Kids, you can be dismissed, and our upper room youth, praise the Lord. Thank you for being here tonight. If I could turn your attention to the Word of the Lord, I'd like to go, first of all, to the book of John. John chapter 4 and verse 24. We're going to do just Bible study tonight on a subject that I think is very important. I would like to teach on a simple subject tonight, knowing God better. Knowing God better. Anybody want to know God better? Everything I know about Him, I sure do like. But I just want to know Him better. Amen. And if you think you really know God, then you just scratched the surface. You hadn't even started yet. Amen. Brother Holly, one of the wisest men, one of the smartest men that I knew, he used to refer to his mind, which was brilliant. He said, with this little peanut arrangement, that's what he called his brain, my little peanut arrangement. He said, I don't know much about it, but he knew a lot about it, but he understood there's so much more. Amen. And so tonight, I know it's an impossible endeavor, but at least we can launch and learn something perhaps tonight that will enhance our knowledge of the Lord a little bit more. Amen. John chapter 4 and verse 24 is a verse that's familiar to many of us. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's a good launching place in understanding God. You may be seated. God's essence tonight is spiritual. God is spirit. That's His essence. Now, a spirit does not have a particular form, though God may and has through time assumed various types of forms. So He can assume any form that He so desires, but at the same time, He does not have just one form. God, because He is spirit, can be and is in all places at all times. So to understand God, we begin by knowing that God is spirit. That's his essence. He just is a spirit. That's what He is. And so and as a spirit, then God is invisible. The Bible talks about Jesus in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. It speaks of Jesus and says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So Jesus then is the visible image of God who is invisible. Now just because God is invisible does not mean He is not tangible. God can be felt even when He cannot be seen. Are you familiar with what I'm saying here tonight? I feel, and I believe you feel, the presence of the Lord in this place, even though we do not see Him physically in this place. So though He is invisible, He is absolutely tangible. You can feel God when you cannot see God. And then you can believe in God whether you see Him or feel Him. He's still there regardless. Amen. He's there whether you can see Him or not, whether you can feel Him or not. It does not negate the existence nor the presence of God. And so God He's an invisible God. You cannot see Him, but He is there and His presence can be known. And then there are some things that God is tonight. They're kind of large words, but they're important words. I'd like to say, first of all, that God is omniscient. Omniscient. Omni, meaning that it simply means all. It's a word that means all, and it's a prefix in this case. omniscient. The omniscience here that we're talking about is knowledge. So then God is all knowledge. He knows all things. God has all knowledge tonight. He knows all things. Amen. The Bible says that He knows the ending from the beginning. When you started, He knows everything about you. Now, the Bible said He knows the number of hairs on our head. And that's something that's a daily change. You know, it changes all throughout the day. Amen. So to know that, He has to know us pretty permanently, doesn't He? Pretty personally, because that changes constantly. He knows, the Bible says He knows all the words that are in your tongue. And for some of us, that's a lot. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you ever kept up with a 4 or 5 year old? Boy, they can evermore spit out the question. Why? Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Amen. They got a million questions that they answer in a day. But God knows every word that's in our tongue. And so He knows it all. Now, Psalm 140 or 139, verse 1 to 13, gives us a really good insight into the omniscience of God. Beginning with verse 1, it said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Now, we do not know ourselves very well, but God really does know you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He not only knows what you do, but He knows why you did it. And that's important, isn't it? Why people do things is just as important as what they do. So God really knows you tonight. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Amen. And so God knows our thoughts not only at the moment, but He knows what's going to be produced in the future. You see, the thing about thoughts are seeds that we plant that bring forth fruit. Everything that you do begins as a thought. Every good deed that you do starts as a thought. Every bad thing that you do starts as a thought. So God knows our thoughts, not only what we think now, but what will be produced by our thinking. I've heard people say, well, when I'm young, I want to go sow my wild oats, and then when I get older, I'll come back to the Lord. The problem with that is when you sow those oats, they bear fruit, and you're not going to like the fruit that it produces. Sin, the Bible said, when it's finished, brings forth death. So you see, we sow these oats, and then later on in life, we have to pay the consequences. Many of us live with regrets every day of our life because of some fruit that our wild oats produced. And oh, how we wish we could unplant that. But we have to live with consequences. It's like a child, you know, how many times do you tell a child, don't touch that, it's hot? Well, you know what they're going to do, right? They are going to touch it. And then when they get burned, they're going to cry, and they're going to come to you for help. And they're going to say, make it stop burning. You can't do that. You can cry with them. You can hug them and hold them. You can put something on it to try to make it better, but you can't stop the burning because that's a consequence of being burned. It's a consequence of touching something that you're not supposed to touch. And so you can cry through the whole process if you want to, but it doesn't change that, nor does it change the scars that may be left after the process is over. And so life is like that. God is the same way. There are things that we do to ourselves that even God Himself cannot stop that process. Sometimes people come to the Lord and then it seems like when they pray through, all of a sudden everything seems to go wrong in their life. You know what that is? That's reaping a crop that they've already sowed. Amen. Well, I thought when I come to God, everything was going to be good. It is. But you got to reap the consequences of some things first. But once that fruit has been produced and it no longer is in the ground, then that's going to pass away. But the good things that you're planting right now are also going to come to fruition. And then you may have good the rest of your life. Now, I'm not going to say that just Christians only have good things happen to them. We live in a crazy world. And some of the consequences of other people's actions also affect us. We can't avoid that because of our interrelationships. All of us are part of a family. All of us are part of a world. And so what other people do also affects us. But here's the thing. Regardless if somebody else plants a crop that brings some bitter fruit into my life, I may have to endure some of that weeping, the Bible says. He said, but joy cometh in the morning. You see, living for God, the difference is, even though you have to witness and have to suffer some consequences from somebody else's doing, there's always hope for the Christian. God is with you even in the midst of your trouble. You can live in a storm and have peace on the inside. You can walk through a terrible situation with a smile on your face and a song in your heart. Amen. Knowing that God is even going to get glory out of this situation, for all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. So you're going to make it through one way or the other. The sad thing is when you have to reap circumstances without God in your life and the will of God in your life, there's nothing but suffering. Good is not going to come from that. And so it's just enduring a lot of sadness for nothing. But God knows our thoughts. He said, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Sometimes I've heard people do something that was a little obnoxious and maybe just downright mean. And they say, well, that's just my way. You think that's a good enough excuse for a Christian? You think that's all right with God? To be unkind and mean to people? And they know you're a Christian, you say, well, that's just my way. Do you think maybe He'd like for us to change those things? Shake your head like this right here. Mm-hmm. Since you don't know what else to do, I'll help you out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't look so solemn tonight. But God just wants us to get better, doesn't He? He wants us to work at it, get better. We never reach a place in God where we can just coast and say, I am perfection. This is it right here. This is as good as it gets. No, never. Amen. So we always have to work at that. He knows all my ways. He knows my good ways. He knows my bad ways. He knows everything there is to know, and yet He still loves me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. What was it? Bill Gaither wrote a song that said, the one that knows me best loves me most. Amen. The one that even knows your darkest secrets, the one that knows your most shameful things, He still loves you more than anybody else does. Amen. God loves you in spite of it all. What a good God we serve tonight. He said, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. And like I said, there's a whole bunch of words in the tongue. Amen. There's a lifetime of them. My, my, my. Thou besettest me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Amen. We can never figure out God's omniscience. He knows everything. My mom was sort of like that. I would come home and she'd say, where you been? She already knew. What have you been doing? She already knew. Amen. And if I tried to say something else, she'd catch me. I don't know how she figured all that out. But I think the Lord tattled. Amen. I'm glad that He tattled on me. It helped me stay straight. Amen. And He helped me to do better. Amen. So God is omniscient. He knows all things. Sometimes, you know, we pray and we don't get the answer as quickly as we ought to, or we think we should. And so while we're waiting, it's not because God is trying to figure out your situation. He already knows. He knew before you ever prayed. So God's not trying to figure out your situation. But sometimes He does have to work a lot of different angles to bring things to pass. Amen. Especially, sometimes we pray, God, You need to really change so-and-so. Well, maybe it's not them. Maybe they're not the one that needs changing as much as you do. Amen. And sometimes situations, we say, God, would You change the situation? No, He may have sent the situation so He can change you. Praise the Lord. Amen. He may have sent something in your life to help you develop some patience. He may send some trouble into your life to help you develop faith. So God works. The Bible said His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so don't try to figure Him out. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful. It's too high. I can't figure all that out. And then we need to know that God is omnipresent. God, I've heard people say, I feel like I'm so far from God. How can you be? God is everywhere. The psalmist said it this way, Psalm 139, verse 7, whether shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whether shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost part of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. So there's nowhere you can go that God's not. When you get there. He's always been there. Everything that He is there. And He's always been. Amen. One writer said that God does not have a circumference. He only has a center. There's no place you can get from God. Because the further you get from, for instance, this microphone I'm using, if I get out of range of that transmitter back there, it'll get more faint and more faint till you won't hear it at all. But God's not like that. There's no periphery to God. You can't get to any place, anywhere, that God is weaker. God is just as powerful in one place as He is in another. God is just as knowledgeable in one place as He is in another. There, God doesn't change. He's immutable. So He's always the same everywhere that He is. He's not affected by time. He is eternal. And He's not affected by space. He's omnipresent. So wherever God is, He's just as powerful and just as strong there as He is anywhere else. Amen. That said, God chooses where He manifests Himself. So there are places that God is, but you will not feel Him there, and you will not see Him working there, even though He is there. Amen. This is a little mind-boggling, a little bit scary tonight. God's in every beer joint tonight. Yes, He is. He's in every movie house. He's in every house of prostitution. He's everywhere there is. There's no place that God is not. He's everywhere. He sees everything. He hears every word. There is no place that God is not. Now, He does not manifest Himself everywhere that He is. And I'll get to this more completely in a moment, but just for the sake of illustration here and now, because God is light. You see, the universe is full of light. If you see a picture of outer space, it looks like it's full of darkness. But it's really not. It's full of light. But in order for light to be revealed, there has to be a solid material that will reflect light. So light's there, but it doesn't have a reflector, you won't see light, even though it exists. So God is like that. He's everywhere there is, but if there's not something to reflect His light and reflect His glory, you will not see Him. He will not reveal Himself. God chooses when and where and to whom He will reveal Himself. We are privileged tonight that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us. And we must never take that for granted. Amen. And we must never think that makes us special. Because we are special, therefore God revealed Himself. No, we are special because God revealed Himself. He's the cause, not us. Amen. I'm honored tonight, and I am special because God chose to reveal Himself to me. And what a privilege that is. So when we say, I'm a long ways from God, you can never be. Because He's already there. He's all around you. You may not feel Him, and He may not reveal Himself there. But He's there. That's why Job said one time, when he was in such dire need, in such trouble, and he's walking through this horrible valley, his body is covered with boils, and his, you know, his family's been wiped out except for his wife, and she's griping and telling him to curse God and die, and then he's got these friends that come, keep just accusing him and belittling him and telling him how great a sinner he is, and if he'd get straightened out, repent, these things wouldn't happen to him. He's in a bad spot. And in the middle of all that, Job says, he says, I sought the Lord. He said, I looked in front of me, I couldn't see Him. I looked behind Him, I couldn't see Him. I looked on the right, He wasn't working over there. I looked on the left, I couldn't find Him. He said, all the places he looked for God, he couldn't find God. But he had this faith. He said, but He knows the way that I take. What he was saying, I don't know where God is, but God knows where I am. I can't feel God. I can't see God. But in my heart, I know that God knows where I am, and He's working on me. And he said, when I come out of this, he said, I'm going to be like gold. Amen. It's going to be worth it. It's going to produce something of worth in my life when I get through all this. That's what faith is. Faith keeps you going when you don't see anything and you don't feel anything. The Bible says we walk not by sight. You can't always see things. You don't walk by feeling. You can't always feel things. But you walk by faith. Because you know God and understand, I don't see God, but God sees me. I don't understand God, but God understands me. I don't know why I'm going through this, but God does. He has not forsaken me. He is with me. And when I get through this, everything's going to be all right. Amen. Praise God. The psalmist said, he said, even when I'm in the darkness does not hide me, because to God, the darkness and the light are the same. Amen. You see, darkness is really nothing. Darkness is not something, it's the absence of something. It's the absence of light. So darkness really, the only reason there's darkness is because that is where light has not been revealed. When light can find a source and an object to reflect itself, it will make itself known. And God is like that. And that's what we are. That's why the Bible said, Jesus said, you are the light. I'm the light of the world. And in another place he said, you are the light of the world. He said, don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't put it under a basket. Amen. Let it shine. Praise the Lord. And you know what? Christians stand out. You may not think you do. You do. You may think people aren't looking, but they are. Amen. People are watching. Amen. And every now and then, one of them will reveal that. Praise God. Because we are reflectors of His light. We do not have our own light and our own goodness and our own selves. But because we know Him, the Bible said we are children of the light. So God is omnipresent. And then God is also omnipotent. He has all power. He has all knowledge. He's everywhere. And He has all power. All power. All power. And here's the beautiful thing about God. When God releases power, it does not lessen any of the power that He has because He has all power. The power remains in Him. He can expend power in your in virtue in your behalf, but He's still as strong as He was when He started. God can help millions and billions of people all at the same time, and it does not expand or limit His strength. It doesn't lessen His strength. Now, I know that's a concept that is impossible for us to really get around because, you know, I help somebody, and in a while I get tired. Amen. You ever heard anybody use that expression? I'm get out. Well, that's exactly what it means. You gave, you don't have any more to give. God never gets in that situation because He has all power. He is almighty. And so there's no lessening of the power of God. Amen. The Bible said, I am Alpha Omega, beginning and the ending, that which is and was and is to come, the Almighty. So if God is almighty, then there's no other mighties. Everything that has power, it derives from God. What about Satan, Brother Grissom? Yes. Any power that Satan has, God permits. God allows. Amen. Why would He do that? He uses it for His purpose and for His glory. We could get on a whole different subject tonight that is huge all in itself. And that is, why does God give people the right of self-will? Why does God allow you and I to make up our own minds and give us choice? Have you ever wished that God didn't give you a choice? That He could make you be good? He can, but He won't. Because God gives you the right of choice. We have to make choices and decisions. You see, in order to have a free will, that's the only way that God could ever really know if you really love Him. Because if you don't have a choice, the Bible talks about in the end times that Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Isn't that going to be great? Amen. But for 1,000 years, people are not going to have the devil to push around and blame things on. He's not going to have any influence. But the Bible says, after that, he's going to be loosed for a little season. And did you know during that time, when there is no devil to tempt anybody, there's still going to be people that do wrong. And when Satan's released, there are going to be a whole lot of people that are going to take his side. Now that's almost impossible to believe, but it's so. The Bible predicted it, and it's going to happen. Amen. But God does have all power. He, He allows some for the devil, but the devil is limited. You remember the story of Job again, when he came to the Lord and he was tempting people, and God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? Boy, how's that? The Lord actually sickened the devil on you. Amen. That's because he had confidence in Job. And the devil started telling him, well, he said, you got your hand on him and I can't touch him. And that's right. God does limit the power of Satan against us. That's why the Scripture said that he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. God's not going to let you get to the place that it's greater than you can handle. Now, sometimes we think that's true. And sometimes we say, God, I can't take any more. He knows you can. Quit whimpering. Hush. Weenie. You know what he's wanting us to do? He wants us to grow up. He wants you to grow up. So he's going to turn up the heat a little bit. Praise God. Does that sound mean? Oh, that's not mean. Have you ever observed a child that people did everything for them? What do they become? Rats. Shake your head like this. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Amen. They all look so serious, you're scaring me out there. Nobody knows what a brat is? You know how to make them, right? Just let them do what they want to and never correct them. But I'm going to tell you what, your heavenly Father's not like that. Amen. If you become a brat, you'll do it on your own accord. Amen. Because he's going to see to it that you get some correction in your life. Is that biblical? I believe it is. The Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Or he corrects, or he disciplines. So God uses his power, amen, to develop us. You see, what we're in right here, we're in school tonight. The rapture or death, if we die righteously, or go in the rapture righteously, then God is elevating us to a place that he's prepared. Did you know the Bible says that you and I are going to actually stand in judgment against angels? That's why he puts you through some stuff. God has a plan for you when this life is over. The Bible said we shall reign with him as kings and priests. Amen. That's right. So God is, he has you in training tonight for a great future that at this moment you cannot even conceive in your mind. So God, this is all going somewhere. So that's why God allows a lot of things to happen. But God has all power. Amen. He's almighty. And then God is eternal. That's another concept that we don't really understand. You know, the book of Genesis chapter 1 starts out saying, in the beginning, God created. So what it's saying is that before there was a beginning, there was God. God existed before what we know to be the beginning of the heavens and the earth. But before there was a heaven and before there was an earth, there was God. And if you try to figure out where God comes from, you'll just blow a fuse because you can't go back that far. You're a finite creature. Everything that I know, everything that you know has a beginning and it has an ending. And that's the way we live our lives. We don't know and we have no concept of what eternity is. Not really. We can concoct all kinds of illustrations to try to describe it, but I really cannot imagine that. And so, God is eternal. What did he tell Moses? When Moses says, what is your name? He said, I am. What does that mean? It means exactly that. He didn't say, I was, or I'm going to be, I am. God is the eternal present. There's never been a time that he was not. There'll never be a time that he will not be. He just simply is. God dwells in an eternal present tense. God is eternal. Amen. And so that's a concept that is so very difficult for us to really get a hold of, but that's the way God is. God is immutable. That means He does not change. God does not change, ever. You see, when you're perfect, you don't need to change. That's why you and I need to change. Because we're not perfect yet. Amen. Has anybody pointed out lately that you're not perfect? Have you seen something in your own life that helped you reminded you that you were not perfect? Did you forget anything recently? Amen. Amen. So we can do that. We're not perfect, but God is immutable. He does not change because He is perfect. So God has no need for change. We change. Things around us change. Even the universe that we live in changes. But God does not change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. And so God doesn't have to change. He doesn't need to change. And He does not change. And then God's moral nature. First of all, the Bible says that God is love. Isn't that beautiful? God is love. That's what He is. It's not that He loves, but He is. That's His very essence. God is love. He cannot act contrary to that because that's what He is. One writer said that God is good to His creation, but God loves His creatures. So, while God is good to the earth and God is good to the moon and the stars, God loves you and me. So God loves us. Amen. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 said, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in Him. So God is love. So it really helps tonight if we can understand that. Amen. Praise God. It really helps if we can understand that God is love. Praise God. So God is that. That's not something that He just does. It's something that He is. And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 said, God is light. Amen. God is light. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Or all sin. So God walks with us and cleanses us when we walk in His light, because God is light. God is light. Amen. I'm not afraid of the dark, just what I think's in it. Amen. And I've been hurt in the dark. Anybody been hurt in the dark? You ever stumbled over something because you couldn't see it? Amen. I've done dumb stuff. And a lot of times it's my own fault, because sometimes I come in here in the church and don't turn the lights on. And it's dangerous to do that. I've learned to turn on some lights, or at least make sure there's enough that I can see. Amen. So, but God is light, and there's no darkness in Him. And I like light. Light's a positive thing. I told you earlier that light is something. Light exists. Darkness is the absence of light. Like death is the absence of life. And so God is light. And you can walk in Him and see Him, and there's understanding and there's revelation. Because God is light. Amen. The Bible speaks of our of our understanding being darkened. Before you came to God, you see, your mind was darkened. You didn't understand a lot of things. But you come to God and things start making sense to you. You begin to understand some things. You see what's right and wrong, and you know why things are right and wrong. It begins to make sense to you. You begin to understand why God wants you to do certain things and not do certain other things. It makes sense to you because the light comes on. God is light. And when you walk in that light, there's more understanding and the way becomes clearer. But when you walk away from light and you refuse the light and want to walk in darkness, the Bible said men choose darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Amen. Have you ever noticed that a lot of places in the world, it's dark? Clubs and you know, it's dark in there. Amen. Movie houses are dark. A lot of places you go in the world, it's dark. They don't want much lights. Not because they're trying to save on the light bill. There's just an association that goes with darkness. And they don't want you to see clearly. And so that's the way the world is. But God is light. God wants you to know things. God's not trying to hide from you. Let me get that again. God's not trying to hide anything from you. He wants you to know Him. Now the devil, he'll try to hide things. But God doesn't hide anything. He wants you to know. Amen. And that's what this book's all about. He gave you all this so you can know Him. And He didn't just put stuff in there that'll make you happy. He put some stuff in there that'll make you scratch your head. He put some stuff in there that you might not even like. Remember that where He said, if any man would follow Me or be My disciple, He said, let him take up his cross daily and follow Me. See, He's not fooling around. He says, if you want to follow Me, you're going to have a cross in your life. You're going to have an instrument of death in your life. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I crucify, I mortify the members of this flesh. Amen. He's not beating around the bush, folks. He's not telling you that it's going to be one Holy Ghost party all the way to heaven. He said, in other places, he said, and then you'll be despised and hated of men for My name's sake. He let them know, some of them, he told them, he said, some of you, he said, you're going to die because of you believe in Me. He didn't tell us this way was going to be easy. He didn't say this is going to be heaven all the way, but it's going to be heaven along the way. Amen. And heaven at the end of the way. But He let us know God is light. He wants you to know tonight. He doesn't want to hide anything from you. God is light, and He's revelation, and He wants us to understand things. Amen. There's no secrets in light. Amen. You want to hide something, put it in the dark. One of the worst mistakes I ever made in buying vehicles is to buy a car in the dark. That was a dumb thing to do. I was in a hurry, and it seemed like a good deal at the time, but when I got it in the light, wasn't such a good idea, was it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Some things that once you get it in the light, it don't look so good. But light reveals faults and failures and weaknesses and blemishes. Thank God for the light. Amen. Alrighty. God is holy. That simply means that God is He's separated from everything else. We've used this illustration in the past, but I don't know of a better one. Everything that you and I know in life, you know, it has opposites. Like we say light and dark, sweet and good and demons and, you see, hot and God and, there's no equal. If we say God and the devil or God and Satan, that's not true. Because Satan is a creature. God is the creator. God has no equal. He is the origin of all things. Everything comes from Him. So that's what we mean when we say God is holy. He's God. There is no equal to God. There's nothing like God. He's God. So He's holy. And when we speak of God's morality, He is without sin. There is no sin, no unrighteousness in God. God is intrinsically holy. He's holy because He's God. He just is holy. God is originally holy. Holiness has its origin in God. God is transcendently holy. Amen. He transcends anything else that anybody else can do or be. God is efficient and effective in holiness. Holiness comes from Him and issues forth from Him and becomes effective in our life. And if we will be like Him, we will be holy. Because that's the holiness of God. God is separated from sin. God is separated from the world. And if we follow God, then we will be like God and we will be separated also from sin and we'll be separated from the world. That's the principle of holiness. God is holy. Holiness basically is internal. Amen. It starts on the inside. Holiness is on the inside. But it reflects on the outside, doesn't it? I've heard people use that illustration before. They say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what you're like on the outside. It only matters what you're like on the inside. Wrong. Wrong. Because if you're holy on the inside, it will reflect and show itself on the outside. When we have holiness on the inside, we want to match on the outside. Isn't that right? Holiness will reflect and tell us what to be and what to separate from. I've used the illustration, some of you may have heard, some may not, of the pastor that was trying to get that concept across to people and they weren't getting it. They just kept saying, well, Pastor, it doesn't matter. So one service, he was preaching in the pulpit and he took a Budweiser can out of the pulpit and started drinking. And they really got upset. Really, really got upset. I mean, it shut the service down. And they really got hot. And he said, wait a minute. He said, I'm just drinking water. It doesn't matter what's on the outside. It only matters what's on the inside, right? And they got the point. You see, that's your testimony. What people see is on the outside. They can't see what's on the inside if it doesn't reflect on the outside. So if you're, say you're holy on the inside and you're unholy on the outside, they don't see any holiness. So if you're holy on the inside, it will reflect on the outside and your testimony will go forth and people will see holiness. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You know how people see God? Because you have holiness in your life. When you have holiness in your life, then people see the Lord in you. And so holiness then is an important issue, isn't it? Amen. Holiness is not just rules and regulations. Yes, we need standards. Everybody needs standards. Amen. You say, well, I don't believe in standards. Yes, you do. If you go down to the station and you get put gas in your car, you want a gallon to be a gallon. You don't want it to say, well, you know, we don't really believe in standards around here. To us, a gallon's what other people call half a gallon. You go to the meat market and you get some food and it's, you want a pound and they just give you less than a pound. You say, wait a minute, that's not enough. You say, well, you know, we don't believe in standards around here. Oh, you believe in them? Absolutely, you believe in them. And so as they apply to us, it's important. Holiness is important. in our lives. And so God is holy, spiritually perfect and pure and sinless. And then God is righteous. You cannot separate God's righteousness from God's justice. They go hand in hand. See, righteousness is the outward reflection of an inward holiness. If you're holy on the inside, you'll be righteous on the outside. If you're holy on the inside, you'll act right on the outside. If you're holy on the inside, you'll look right on the outside. Everything about you is reflected. You see, holiness is the inward. Righteousness is the outflow of holiness. God is holy, therefore He's righteous. His acts and His words, His deeds are righteous because He is holy. So God is a holy God, and God is a righteous God. God is a perfect God. God is truth. Amen. And then God, lastly, and I'm going to close with this, God is, He's judge. He's the judge. And rightly so. Why not? Amen. Whether I like it or whether I don't, God's the judge. Amen. And I don't have anything to say about it. I'm born into His world. I eat His food. I breathe His air. I enjoy His sunshine. I drink His water. Everything I do, it's His. It's not mine. Amen. We build a house and we say, this is my house. Well, it'll be yours for a little while. This is my car. Well, it can be yours for a little while. This is my money. Well, we'll see. Amen. We'll see how long it's yours. But we get that little childish attitude. Mine, mine, mine. Everything's mine. Well, it's yours for as long as God allows you to have it. But there will come a day when it won't be yours anymore. There will come a time when even the breath that you breathe won't be yours anymore. The beating of your heart won't be yours anymore. The life that causes your being to exist won't be yours anymore. Because all of it belongs to Him. Your heartbeat is His. Your breathing is His. Everything that you are, everything that you have, it all belongs to God. Your very soul, your very spirit, it all belongs to Him. Amen. He is life. And it all proceeds from Him. And in time it goes back to Him. Amen. So everything is God's. God is. Somebody said the best thing about God is that God is. That's deep, isn't it? Amen. Thank you for your time and your attention. Let's stand together. Amen. I'd like to know Him a little better, wouldn't you? I'll say this about God. Everything I know about Him, I like. Amen. Everything I understand about Him, I like. I just wish I knew more and understood better. Praise the Lord. Because God is good all the time. God is good all the time. One thing you can depend on in life is that God is going to be good. I can't say that about people. I can't say that about myself. I can't say that about the weather. I can't say that about circumstances. Sometimes circumstances are going to be good. Sometimes they're going to be bad. Sometimes I'm going to be good. Sometimes I'm going to be bad. Amen. How about you? Shake your head like this. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Yeah, we call them, I'm having a good day or I'm having a bad day. Well, it's not the day, really. This is a day the Lord hath made. God don't make any bad days. But we choose to respond to the circumstances of the day, sometimes in a less than perfect way. And that's why we call it a bad day. Amen. But our God's good to us. Our God is good to us. And I really do appreciate Him. I really do thank Him today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's important that we, how we respond to God, our knowledge of God, what we do with it. Amen. What we do with it. Amen. I want to know Him better. I've always been convinced that when I know God better, I love Him more. Praise God. When I know God better, I will love Him more. Now, I can't always say that about myself, and I can't say that always about other people. But when I know God, I love Him more. Praise the Lord. I think it'd be good if we just respond to Him right now, and let's just lift our hands and our voices and